On the air and online. The next generation of KGO 810.
John Rothman with you right here on KGO. I'm in for Drex, and there really is no place I'd rather be than right here with you. Let's go to Victor, calling from El Sobrante. Victor, thank you for your patience. Welcome to KGO.
Hey, John, good evening. I'm calling about this new thing happening, the newest shooting involving a police officer, and it has to do not with race but with age. These are two young men aged 23 and 24.
Correct.
I'm 25 myself. Yeah, I'm 25, you know. That police officer is lucky to have the first draw on that guy. Otherwise, he would be the one murdered. So it's not about race to me. It's about age, solely about age. It's two young men. It's a 50-50 draw. Who's going to win? I'm glad the police officer had enough training in him to get the first one off.
See, I think it might have happened if you were older as well as younger. But I do want to take race out of this, and I appreciate the fact that you said that, because it doesn't belong here. But the simple truth is, if you're a police officer and you feel your life is being threatened, you're going to shoot first and ask questions later. And that's
as you're trained to.
Yep.
That's what training does. That's what saved that boy's life. He's younger than me. It saved his life.
Victor, your point is well taken, and we'll see how the investigation goes. Thank you very much. Let's go to Craig, calling from San Jose. Craig, thank you for your patience. Welcome to KGO.
Good evening, John. Listen, the shooting, I'm not too familiar with everything that happened with the shooting either, but the problem is the community is upset with police shooting black men. There have been videos of white men pointing guns at police officers, and they have been not killed or even shot, for that matter. So this is more about, it's not, because both the individuals are black, so it's not about race, but it's about the police and the community not treating the black community like they treat other people in other communities.
You know, I agree with you. And here's the issue, though. The rioting that takes place afterward, the burning of businesses and so forth, I understand that that is not a reaction to the events themselves, but rather to the circumstances in which African-American young people find themselves. Is that a fair statement?
That would be a fair statement. You're exactly right. And I'm speaking from my brother. I'm a black man. My brother was a New York City police officer for 25 years. So I see both sides of it.
No, I want you to know what you said, Craig, is very important, and I wanted to clarify, and you have helped me to clarify, and I hope people listening understand that clarification. Thank you, Craig, very, very much. Good man. Let's go to Dolly, calling from Oakland. Dolly, welcome to KGO.
Hi, John. My take on this is young people got to realize that, you know, they have rights. They have a right to remain silent. They have a right to an attorney. They have a right to a phone call. They have a right to due process of the law. The time is not at the time where the police stop you to pull out a gun and aim it at anybody.
Yep, it's, I agree. Or to run. You shouldn't be running.
Yes, all means necessary. That's what the police officers are trained to do. If they can't handle you, they'll bring more people to handle you. You will go down. You need to be quiet, put your hands up, be arrested, and you have your due process of the law. It is not your time to start pulling guns at people.
Hey, let me ask you, may I ask you a provocative question?
Sure.
When I have African-Americans that I talk to about this, they say they don't believe in the due process. They don't believe they get a fair shake. They don't believe that. So how do you respond to that?
Well, you know what? Do you want to be shot dead, or do you want to take your chances to do due process of the law? Yeah. That is what you have left. I have three grandsons who are Hispanic, and they're becoming young men. I tell them to get on their knees, put their hands up, and let them arrest you. Do not fight the police. You will not win. You will not win.
I agree. I'm always reminded, and I've told the story before, of the African-American man who, teaching his sons how to drive, said, if they stop you, keep both hands on the wheel. Don't make any moves. Say yes, sir, and no, sir, and just cooperate.
Exactly. You will not win. You will never win the police. Mm-hmm. Trying to fight them, trying to get out of it, or trying to pull a gun, you will die. And I'm sure if that's the case, that you would rather do due process of the law. I take my chances at due process of the law than to put a gun at a police officer and think I'm going to walk out of there free. You're
all right. I appreciate the call. It's a great example. I want to squeeze in one more person, Mike calling from San Ramon. Mike, thank you for your patience.
Hello. So I wanted to tell you that I'm a former member of the United States Armed Forces. And one of the reasons I left the service was that you actually have to – you enter that job knowing that you're placing your life behind someone else's. And unfortunately, that's the same kind of job that a police officer has. Their lives are actually secondary of importance to the person or the people that they're supposed to be protecting. And they accept that job well knowing the fact that they may have to give their life in order to protect someone else's. So I'm getting a little tired of them saying, well, I was in fear for my life, when it says nothing of the people that they pull over in a car. And how would you react if you're in a car and an officer just pulls a gun out on you? And their training is, if you pull a gun out, you intend to use it. So now that sets this precedent of, hey, I'm about to get shot. So it's understandable that people want to run away. They don't want to get shot. And that's all that I want to have to say, is that that's part of the police officer's job, is that they have to realize that they may actually die, but doing their job. And them saying, hey, I was afraid for my life, very little to me, because it says nothing to the life or the people in the cars or the people that they're interacting with when they're afraid for their lives.
But on the other hand, when you are in a position where you know that your life is threatened, you don't want to just stand there and end up dead, do you?
Well, but that's the thing. A lot of these times, I don't know that their lives are really being endangered. I get a lot of, or I hear a lot of, oh, he was going for his waistband. I thought he had a gun. And in retrospect, it's not even a cell phone. They don't really have anything. There's the mentally ill man and his caregiver in, I think it was Florida.
I know. But you know what it is?
He was sitting down. He had his hands up.
Right.
Megan Sheehan and the Bart's in the Santa Rita jail. Sure. She's being booked and she's getting manhandled. There's Oscar Grant who it's very clear that they're really crossing the line where
I would tell you that in many cases you're right. Part of it is a fear factor. We are human. But you are correct when you say that a police officer's job is to serve and protect, and that officers are aware that their life is not what's on the line in terms of serving the public. Now, I appreciate the call. Look, this is a fascinating topic, and there may not be a proper answer. 800-810. We're going to switch topics. I've got two things I want to do in the next hour. And the first one is $1 million salary for a UCSF executive while janitors are getting a pay cut. We'll talk about that when we come back. And then, yes, we're going to talk about the Olympics and global warming. We'll do that as we approach the last half hour. I am John Rothman. I'm in for Drex. And there is no place I would rather be than right here with you on KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland.